You're listening to Good Timing. I'm your host, Isabel Hagen. Hello, hello, folks. Welcome to another episode of Good Timing with Isabel Hagen. I'm sitting here with my roommate, Talia Kagan, aka DJ Tali K. What's up?
Hello. How are you?
Oh, yeah. We need to insert your little
My DJ drop. Yeah, yeah. Why don't you have that in your normal podcast, you know, deck?
I know. I really should have it ready, but I didn't. This is, I'm already failing as a host.
No, it's great.
I'm glad you could make it to my podcasting studio, aka
our living room.
Our living room.
Well, sometimes your podcasting studio is your bedroom.
That's true.
Sorry, was that too much behind the curtain?
No, I like to be behind the curtain for my listeners. So
keep it real.
Yeah, it's great to have you back on the podcast. It's been a while. You're the first repeat guest.
Oh, wow. I'm honored, honestly.
I'm honored that you're the first repeat guest.
Do I still hold the crown for most popular guest?
You do. I haven't checked recently, but last I checked, your episode had like, I don't know, 600 downloads?
No peeks behind the curtain. Oh. We'll bleep that out.
Okay.
Do you ever bleep things out?
No, I could bleep.
Okay, you should bleep. That should be your first bleep ever.
Okay.
Because, yeah.
There's a lot of firsts for this episode.
A lot of firsts, a lot of seconds.
Right. It's the first second. Like, it's your first second time on my podcast.
Great.
Well, we wanted to do this episode. Well, it all started because I decided to learn Perfect by Ed Sheeran on the guitar because I really can't play guitar. I never tried to learn it, and I figure I have one in my apartment, and it's kind of still quarantine, weird pandemic times. Why not fucking learn the guitar, right?
Why not? You can sing very beautifully.
I can sing very well. It's hard to talk about.
I like that you didn't repeat very beautifully. You should have said, I can sing very beautifully.
Right, yes, but I didn't. And yeah. I mean, I think it would have been weird for me to say beautifully about myself. That seemed like a little, like singing very well, that seems more just like factual. Mm. Whereas beautiful makes it feel like I'm like in love with myself. Mm. You know what I mean?
But, you know.
But you can say it being someone in love with me.
Yes. Yes, I am. And that's why we're discussing the song we're discussing.
Yes. So I just like YouTubed random guitar tutorials, and then it was like Learn Perfect by Ed Sheeran on the guitar. And I was like, well, I love that song. So
Who doesn't?
I think it's one of those songs that some people might be afraid to say that they like, but you have to. I mean, who doesn't like it?
I mean, we listen to it in the car a lot, my family. It just gets us hype in the car. Like, it's just a great family car sing-along song.
That would be an interesting family car sing-along.
Yeah, I guess it's known as a wedding song.
Do you think everyone in the car in your family has, like, someone they're thinking about during the song? Like a secret somebody?
Well, I think, you know, when it's my parents in the car, hopefully they're thinking of each other. But honestly, I think we're all thinking of Ed.
Right.
Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran. Yes. The guy who wrote and performs Perfect.
Yeah.
So I was learning Perfect on guitar, and it's only a few chords, so it's pretty easy to learn. And then Talia and I were like, let's just like watch. We were just like in like a perfect mood.
Yeah.
A perfect mood.
Yeah, I just, you know, I feel like we have YouTube on our TV. Sometimes it's fun to watch the live performances. We wanted to feel hype about Perfect, like really get you like excited about your journey of learning it.
Yeah, and I will just say like Talia has taught me sort of this concept of getting hype about something that I didn't have before I lived with Talia. Do you want to explain like the art of getting hype?
The art of getting hype? Wow, I'm so honored that I was able to teach you that. I don't know. I think it's an ineffable thing, getting hype. You know, you just have to, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
It just basically means like, you know, getting excited about something. So yeah. You have a little more drive to do it. And maybe it's like, I think getting hype is best used for something you don't really want to do. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I have to like, when for you, like, oh, I have to make this mix. I don't want to do it. Like, mm-hmm. you could like listen to some music and like get hype for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting hype, I guess it's like getting yourself in a different mood. It's like creating a buzz in the room.
Mm. Like just getting good energy flowing.
Yeah. I liked when you said that you had never heard of getting hype before.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I've like, I'm familiar with what it means, but I hadn't really heard the term. Mm-hmm. And I do think terms change meaning a little bit. I think True. Things aren't completely separate from the words.
Right, right.
So just the idea of getting hype, it kind of like solidified this idea of something I've done before. Like when mm-hmm. I want to write stand-up and I'll watch some stand-up to get in the mood, I'm kind of like getting hype mm-hmm. about writing stand-up.
Like fun motivation.
Yeah.
Motivation but fun.
Yeah, and obviously I've like heard the expression like, oh, I'm like really hyped up.
Yeah.
But it's a it's slightly altered.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm like generally a person who needs to do things on deadline and needs to feel a sense of urgency to get things done, like most procrastinators. I mean, also just most people, I think. Mm-hmm. So I feel like in a way hype like creates excited urgency.
So Talia just sensed that I needed some excited urgency to learn Perfect on guitar, which by the way, I haven't really been practicing since that first night, but it's partly because I realized I could play it on my viola as an accompaniment to me singing, which kind of the easy way out, you know.
What key though? Or is that a spoiler?
I can play it in A flat major, which is Ed Sheeran's key. However, this brings us to our next topic on the subject
of watch. So we were watching like all the We really got to set the scene.
Yeah. So we're sitting on the couch. Talia says, why don't we watch some performances live of Ed Sheeran playing Perfect to get you in the mood? So I say, okay, Talia, let's do that.
So pull it up. We pull it up. I think I'm just playing like the first ones that come up that look like they have, you know, somewhat good quality. And I feel like we were, you know, watching. Well, we watched, was the Miss France one first?
No, that wasn't first. The first one was some other performance, but I don't remember what it was, but we felt like something was off.
Yeah, it just didn't, we didn't feel hype watching it.
We didn't. And I will say that I immediately knew that he was singing it in a different key when I heard it, but I didn't really think about it like as a reason maybe that I didn't like it as much as the studio recording.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. I mean, once you said that it was in a different key from the studio recording, I could like understand that,
right?
But it would never have occurred to me. I was just like, why is this falling a little flat?
Because we realized in many of Ed Sheeran's live performances, either on TV shows or live concerts that are on YouTube, he sings it in A major rather than in
A flat.
He sings it in G live, but the studio recording is in A flat major.
Yeah.
And it's
slightly higher.
Right. And I figured it's probably just because when he's live and on tour, like hitting those high notes, it's probably just like more forgiving on his voice if he just takes it down a half step. Totally understand that.
He's got a wild life.
I'm sure he's got a wild life when he's on tour, you know? He's probably, I don't know what his lifestyle is, but he's probably got a lot of fans to deal with. Meet and greets, like doing talk shows during the day and then the shows at night. And just, I mean, it's stressful. You got to protect your voice. So I totally understand. However, it's just like different keys really offer different feels.
Yeah. And well, what I was going to ask you also, I mean, you know, as someone who's not like as musical and like, once we sort of pinpointed the, oh, it's in a different key, and then you could like figure out, oh, it's usually in this key, whatever. Like, I would not have known that, but like, I could know it was different. But is it also just like kind of like a primacy bias thing? Like, oh, this is wrong?
Yes, I definitely think that's part of it too. Like, we're just used to hearing it in A flat major. So we're like, well, this is different. I don't like this.
Yeah.
Totally. That's a great term, primacy bias.
I don't know if that's the real term. Oh, God. I should have.
Well, you know what she's saying.
It's like a psych term, but maybe I'm saying it wrong.
It makes sense to me. Like, I'd never heard it, but I knew what you meant when you said it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a concept, but yeah, sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's just like, oh, this is different, and therefore wrong.
Yeah.
But I think, like, I think we also were saying, like, there's something, it just doesn't achieve the quite level of, like, awesomeness.
Right. And I will say, like, obviously studio recordings are usually going to sound better quality, mm-hmm. right? But a lot of performers live, they are kind of awesome in a different way.
Yeah.
And there is like that extra like, oh, but it's live. So I don't care if like they missed a note, they're a little out of tune or something's a little messier because they have that energy. But I wasn't getting that from the live.
No. And we kept searching.
We kept searching for like, well, this brings us to the title of the episode. Searching for, you want to say it?
Searching for the perfect perfect.
Yes. And we'll get to what we think the perfect perfect is towards the end of the episode. Oh, we won't quite reveal it yet.
Wait. It's gonna be the studio version. Oh, okay. I was like, wait, do we know what the perfect perfect is? Oh, okay. It's the studio. Oh, you can bleep that.
Yeah, I'll cut that.
Because you have, now you introduced bleeping.
Yes.
It's the bleep, bleep, bleep. The new podcast.
Or maybe I'll just keep all of that in.
Oh, okay. Oh, damn.
Who knows? I don't know.
Should I like say our address so that you can like definitely have to bleep something?
Yeah.
We live at bleep, bleep. Wait. Okay. Yes. So we were watching, well, we need to also explain the Miss France one, I feel.
Okay. So yeah, we were searching for the perfect perfect. And after a couple, we saw like one performance on Ellen. One performance was like a live radio studio recording.
Yeah, he sounds nice.
Sounds nice. It's in G major, not A flat.
And it's not like he's a bad live performer, no. I feel, because he also, you know, I don't know how familiar you are with his live performances. I've never seen him in person live, IRL, but he does cool stuff with his loop pedal and like he's talented.
Yes.
Like, I think he's got it in him.
Definitely got it in him. I think the thing is that Perfect, here's what I'll say. Perfect is such a simple song. It's just him playing his guitar, singing about a gal he loves. And so they're like, for that kind of raw performance, mm-hmm. that's where the true performer, like sure, when he's doing his looping pedals, I think that's maybe where he shines more live because mm-hmm. he knows how to do that and
yeah.
navigate all those things. But when he's just singing a song with his guitar, like maybe this, you know, there's just something missing there.
Yeah.
And something else we noticed before we got to the Miss France performance uh-huh. was that he was kind of like rushing through it. It seemed.
Oh yeah, he was rushing.
Like it's much, the tempos he takes in live performances of Perfect tend to be quicker than the studio performance, and it's like, okay, do you even want to be here?
Yeah We were like, oh, are you like just trying to get through this? Like, yeah,
it felt very like robotic.
Yeah. And we like also, you know, we were saying too, like Perfect is a song that like, yeah, you do want it slow, but if it's too slow, it's like very ponderous and like very saccharine and like overly sentimental. And I feel like why Perfect is such a great song is because it like kind of pushes like sentimentality to like the edge, but I think it stays on the good side of it, you know?
Mm.
Like I don't think it dives off into like horrible triteness. I think it's like just at the edge.
You're right. It is just at the edge because it's like, sure, I would never argue with someone who called it like a corny song.
It is a little corny.
But when something's too corny, I think it's like, I can just tell it's like bad and it doesn't affect me emotionally.
Yeah.
Like I think in order for something to affect you emotionally, it does have to toe that line.
Yeah.
Of like, my emotions are all out here, but it's still, yeah, like you said, like just at the edge, like still kind of contained, like.
And meaningful and.
Meaningful. Yeah. What do you think makes Perfect so meaningful?
You know, just the raw emotion of, I don't know, simplicity. Oh yeah, I did pull it up. I was like, oh, should we go through the lyrics? I don't think we should really go through the lyrics. I think everyone should just go home and, you know, listen to Perfect about 10 times.
A lot of people who are fans do listen to Perfect like over and over again. Or like yeah. people listen to music over and over again. Like your favorite songs, do you listen to them a lot?
Oh yeah.
And it always makes me like it more.
Yeah, when you hear all the nuances and
yeah, and I think that's something that like people don't get from like classical music because they don't listen to the same like Mozart quartet over and over again. Mm-hmm. But I have done that. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happens where I'm like, oh, I love this part. Like,
right.
And I always wish like more people would just give themselves that experience of listening to like a classical piece over and over again.
Yeah.
Because I think they would start hearing things, even if you don't think you understand classical music.
Right. You would still recognize like, yeah, like you said, that part, like, oh, it's exciting when the strings come in this part. I don't know if that happens.
Yeah. Because non-musicians enjoy pop music, and pop music is still like generally made by like skilled musicians doing things that a non-musician doesn't understand, but yet you still relate to it. Sure. It has lyrics that you might relate to more than classical music without lyrics. But I think there's a lot of elements you don't realize you hear in pop music that aren't the lyrics as well.
Yeah. Just like changes in the song and...
Yeah. And you might not know why exactly if you're not like a skilled musician or whatever. You're not like trained, but you just sort of like, I like this. I don't know why, but I like this sort of, yeah, the way the strings are coming in or the tempo of this or the rhythmic drive. We're kind of getting sidetracked here. Sorry.
No, I think it's true. I think like anything when you like start to know it, like just becomes more interesting.
Yeah. Less challenging maybe. So maybe it's not like the most like highly intellectual activity to like get familiar with something. I don't know.
Oh, you mean just because you're taking... Yeah. But I think that's just like how people are.
Right. Well, I think there's like a point, like you listen to something over and over again and you're analyzing it. And then eventually I'm like, I just want to hear this piece of music because it's familiar and it'll go down easy or like make me feel this certain thing. Mm-hmm. So I think there are merits to both like listening to something new and listening to something for the millionth time.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's like hard for classical music also to compete with something that, okay, here's my great insight as a DJ. Also, is that people like loud music and things sound good when they're loud. And I do feel like a lot of like music that people hear, like that's like better balanced for just like shitty headphones. It's just like more exciting.
Right. Sometimes I would try to listen to a classical piece on the train with my shitty headphones. And it's like, there'll be parts where I just can't hear. It's inaudible. Right.
It's dynamic. Right. It's meant to be dynamic. Like the quiet parts are supposed to be like, oh, quiet, like, do, 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 do. I don't know if your microphone picks this up. But like, and then get louder. But like, that doesn't work on the train.
Right. And all that music is suited for shitty headphones. Also, when you go hear that music live, like an Ed Sheeran concert, people are singing along. There's noises. People are talking. Whereas if you go to a classical concert, it's like, if you cough, it's like,
shut up.
Someone opens like a candy wrapper and you just, oh. But anyway, we're getting sidetracked. What were we talking about?
It's just that, you know, I feel like the whole of human experience is contained within the bounds of Perfect the Song. Mm. So really this episode could contain the world.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I think we still haven't talked about Miss France.
Oh yeah. Okay. So we were like, he's rushing through it.
Yeah.
Not only is he playing it in a lower key, but he's rushing through it. I'm just not getting the same feeling I get from when I hear the studio recording.
Yeah, it was stressing me out how he was going faster. Like, it just didn't have the right vibe.
Yeah, it wasn't, it didn't groove.
Mm, yes, good term.
Yeah, and then we watched the Miss France performance, which was bizarre on many levels. Yeah. One, he was like at the back of the stage as these, I guess, beauty pageant contestants like walked up and down, like strutted in their outfits. Like he was just like the backup music.
Yeah. And it's like not really the right song for that. I feel like it's, you know, it is meant to be a love song, not like a beauty. Also, I guess, you know, women don't have to be perfect. Also, as he says in the song, it's like barefoot on the grass that... You have to say grass.
Yes.
Actually, I think when you were singing it to me, I corrected you.
You did.
Because you said grass, and I was like, no, it's grass. Yeah, so like that's not the vibe of the song.
No, and yeah, it felt, I mean, but that kind of, I feel like that's a very European thing to do, to sort of like use music in like slightly different ways than we're used to. I don't know. Like they're just like
there's a cultural disconnect. That
yeah.
We yeah, probably. Was Ed getting it? I don't know. He looked a little confused.
I mean, they must have paid Ed Sheeran so much money to be there for him to like perform in the background of some random beauty pageant. I mean, I guess Miss France is a big deal, maybe.
Yeah, no, I think he got paid a lot of money to do that.
Yeah.
If he can sell out Wembley like all the time.
Then. Right.
But yeah, that one was okay. But then, so we're like, damn, like I was like trying to look up if I could find him singing Perfect in A flat major, like live.
Right.
And then we remembered that, not embarrassing, but you know, funnily enough, this was not the first time we had watched a live performance of Perfect together.
It was not.
On our TV.
Well, we've gotten really into watching live concerts during the pandemic because it's just feels like a cool vibe to have in the apartment. Like, I don't know, we're just like chilling at home, like watching a concert.
Yeah, no, it's great. And so then we remembered that we had watched him do Perfect with Beyonce because there's a version, he came out with a couple other versions of Perfect. He came out with one with Beyonce, that's a duet. And then at some like, not Live Aid, but some kind of concert like that, he does with Beyonce. And we remembered liking it.
Right.
So then we went back and watched that.
And that one was in A flat major, I guess because Beyonce needed to sing it in that key, or maybe just because he was trying to pull out all the stops for Beyonce and do it in the original key. I don't know.
I think so. I think it would be embarrassing if he had to ask Beyonce to change the key, or he just like, I don't think he could do that.
Right. Would she even like realize though? I'm not trying to like diss her, like, but would she even like if they just started the song in G?
You don't think Beyonce would realize? Oh. Beyonce like is very exacting in her performance. Okay. That would not fly.
Okay.
I mean, I think she would go with it because she's a professional.
Right. Right. But okay, so here's the thing. He sounded better in A flat major, even though our theory was that it's like a tougher key for him because it's higher, it's more strained on his voice. It actually like, I think his voice opens up better in that key.
Yeah.
So that started being a little confusing because you were like, okay, well, then why is he constantly performing it in G? And then I did point out that in order to do it in A flat major, he needs a capo.
So we're like, maybe he's just always fucking forgetting his capo. Just like can never remember to bring the capo.
Right. It's just like, everyone's just like, Ed, his manager, I imagine, is like, Ed, you need to remember your capo.
I'm not going to do it for sure.
Where is your capo? He's like, I forgot my capo again. I'm so sorry. Well,
gee, it is. Once again, I'm sorry.
But it's just the song is better in A flat major.
We think he brought it for Beyonce. Like,
right. Because you have to bring it for Beyonce.
Yeah.
But then we saw another performance of him singing with Andrea Bocelli. Which was interesting because Andrea Bocelli sang it in Italian.
Yes. And then did Ed sing part of it in Italian
and
too?
Then Ed sang part of it in Italian, which made me think more highly of Ed because I feel like he had to like learn the Italian for Andrea and he could have easily just been like, no, you sing it in Italian, I sing in English. I'm not going to fucking learn that shit. I feel like it was like really respectful of the artist he was collaborating with.
That's true. That's true. And he was in A flat major for that one, I think.
I don't remember for that one.
I feel like I remember it sounding right.
Yeah. I mean, also Andrea Bocelli singing Perfect.
Yeah.
Sounds right to me.
Sounds right. Sounds right. I don't love the studio version because it felt too pandering. And I feel like it, for me, it was like, is the studio version maybe slower too? So for me, it gets into that kind of like treacly, like, overly sentimental, like
the studio Andrea Bocelli version.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I listened to that one. You might have done some research on your own.
I think that it's called the research of just being an Ed Sheeran fan.
Oh, okay.
And hearing all his latest releases as they are released.
Are you do you identify as an Ed Sheeran fan?
No. Well, I think I like Ed Sheeran. But I like a lot of things, as you may know. I feel like I'm kind of undiscriminating in a way. Like, I just like a lot of things. But I did really like that album when it came out. And I don't know. I think I just also listen to, like, all the new music that comes out. So
you're very current.
Thank you.
But also, not just current, but like it's vast, your knowledge, because we're so, I feel like maybe this is just a sense I have that's false, but because mm-hmm. of like Instagram and like being able to sort of, one, anyone can sort of like just build up a following now. Mm-hmm. And two, just because I think as everything grow inflation, like they're just like more stars out there today. Mm-hmm. Then like I can't keep track of all of them. Like there are just too many like quote famous people, and everyone's kind of divided into their little like niche of what they like. And but I feel like you still know like everything.
I guess I'm very interested in celebrity culture. I don't know. It's just like fun and interesting to me.
Yeah, you've gotten me more interested in it too, and I find it very fun as well. But what maybe you're someone to ask this, like as someone who has always consumed it. Mm-hmm. pop culture and like stayed current, do you feel like there are more artists to keep track of now than there were like 10 years ago?
Yeah, probably, because I feel like to have like a song on Spotify is much easier now than to like have a record, full record deal that you had to get signed.
Right.
So probably there just are more and more. Yes. I agree.
I guess it's the same as how there are just so many TV shows now because of all the streaming services.
Right.
Like there are so many shows.
Right. Like a lower barrier to entry of like having a show.
Oh yeah. And there are like hit shows now that I will never hear of, even if they like quote did well or like won some Emmys or, you know, it's just
not possible to, yeah,
to keep track of all of them.
I think that's true. I guess. Yeah. Among all art forms. I mean, I guess, you know, it's cool in a perfect... Did the mic pick up on my ha ha ha? I guess, like, you know, in a perfect world, like, everyone who wants to be making art could be making art and it could be out there and be heard, so...
Yeah, at what point does it have, like, not a positive effect? Because I feel like at first it's nice, like, you mm-hmm. want the lower... You want more people to have opportunities to have their voices heard. You want mm-hmm. there not to be these gatekeepers where it seems kind of arbitrary and political who gets
right.
to have a big platform. So it is like this nice equalizer. But at what point does that have a reverse effect where we just like don't even know what to listen to anymore? No one's voice is amplified because everyone's voice is amplified.
Right.
And we don't have any kind of cultural direction. Do we need cultural direction? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's something fun about everyone knowing the same song.
Right.
And I do think, and we don't have to get into Taylor Swift on this podcast, but I do think that's why, like, you know, people do still get excited about big stars like Ariana Grande or like Taylor Swift, like when they have something come out, because it's like, you do know it's still an event. Like
right.
it remains to this day, like an event when one of them has an album come out. And that's exciting.
I also wonder, because Ariana Grande and Taylor Swift, they still kind of rose to fame like right before like the social media boom, would you say? Or at least Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Like there might've been social media, but it's just growing exponentially. Like by the minute, I feel like just the amount of people engaged on it. And
yeah,
I feel like they are like, I don't, will there ever be like another Taylor Swift again in terms of just her wide appeal? Like, is Billie Eilish as famous as Taylor Swift?
I guess so.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe I'm just old.
I think maybe we're just old.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't even know.
Anywho, gotta get back to perfect.
Back to perfect. So, but the Miss France we liked because he was playing it slower.
Right. Yes, we liked the tempo.
I wonder if that was the right.
Oh yeah, I wonder. Oh, sorry. Say what?
I was gonna say maybe they were like, so the girls are gonna like walk out and like, can you play it like a little slower, just like for their strut, so that they right. have time? And maybe it ended up being actually the tempo of the studio recording because of that.
Right. Oh, also, wait. Wasn't part of why we liked Miss France? Didn't he have maybe accompaniment, and that kept him from rushing as well?
Oh, he had strings, right?
He had strings. We liked the strings.
Oh, that's another difference, because in a lot of those live recordings, like when he played on Ellen, it was just him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's like, I'm just going to speed it up. Left up this BPM.
left to his own devices, he goes rogue. And
he doesn't want to.
Do you think he's sick of playing the song, or do you think he loves it so much?
Well, I did do some extracurricular research, and I feel like I was reading something about Perfect. And actually, he was saying that part of why he wrote Perfect was because he was trying to get out from under the weight of Thinking Out Loud, his other like really big wedding song.
Right.
And and part of why he wrote Perfect, he said, is he wanted to like write like a really perfect love song and like not just be known for Thinking Out Loud. So
right.
Now he's got another one.
It's funny, I've played Thinking Out Loud at a lot of weddings, like in a string quartet version.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever played Perfect in a string quartet. I think that's just not for any real reason. I think we've just it's never come up.
Right. Well, maybe you were playing more weddings like earlier before Perfect came out. So
that's true. That might be
a different age.
Right.
A different wedding age.
But I like thinking that Perfect has many levels to it. Like not only is it about a girl who looks perfect, but he wanted to write the perfect love song, the perfect follow-up to Thinking Out Loud. Mm-hmm. You know?
First, second. I don't know if it's really work.
Oh, damn. Was Thinking Out Loud his first hit song? Did that get him like wide acclaim, or was he already?
His first big song was The A-Team.
I don't even know that song.
Well, actually, it's a little bit of a meme on TikTok right now, I feel, because when you get in your car and your car Bluetooth connects to your phone, it automatically, like, I feel like iTunes automatically plays your first, alphabetically first song.
Mm.
So there's just like all these TikToks of people getting into their car and like the A-Team starts playing because it's like A.
Oh, that's the same with A-Punk for Vampire Weekend.
Yes.
Do you think that's why those songs become hits? Not just because they're good songs, but because they're like first, so in the alphabet,
maybe
playlist.
I mean, and I think if it's ever my phone, I think I also Aaron Burr, sir, from Hamilton, please.
Oh,
Aaron, A-A-R-O-N.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes, I don't think it hurts their streaming. I would.
What are other hit songs that start with A's? All of Me,
All of
by
Me.
John Legend.
Yeah, I mean. But the thing
that would be a hit even if it started with a Z. I love that song.
Do you? I love that song. I think it's fine. But like A-Punk and A-Team are both like isolated A's. So right. They're like for sure your first A.
Right. So if you want to write a hit song, definitely do yourself a favor and make it A-dash something.
Yeah.
Or A something.
Yeah.
Like A Boy Like That from West Side Story.
If you want a hit song, just do a 2020 version or 2021 version of A Boy Like That.
A Boy Like That.
That I think that could
kill
be
your brother.
That could be a great trap song, I feel.
Yeah.
Get like Bad Bunny to do like a, oh my God, wow.
Are you into trap music?
Am I into trap music?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking because I feel like Latin trap is like so big right now and that's like kind of perfect for like a Latin trap song.
Right.
Yeah. I love Bad Bunny.
Okay. I'm so out of the loop with all this. I've always been this way. Like even when I was a kid, I would just sort of actively resist the pop songs. I think because I just wanted to be contrarian and I don't know. I thought it was cool to not conform. And it's just like, I'm so far behind. And not only am I behind, but there are just more and more artists that I just don't even stand a chance.
There's just not enough time. I feel like just listen to what you like.
Yeah, that's what I do. But also having you in the apartment really does help because you sort of clue me in on certain things.
Yeah. I mean, I could watch music videos all day.
Yeah.
Sure.
Wait, going back though for a second, you said you don't like All of Me by John Legend.
No, I don't love All of Me.
That's my perfect.
Oh, interesting.
Song.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I like the tone of it. I don't have enough musical knowledge to completely describe what I don't like.
Right. Well, I'm trying to think about the recording. It's just
what
piano.
Key, what key is it in?
I think it's in A flat major as
oh
well.
Oh my God, but that's my favorite key.
Wait, let's see what key it's in.
Okay. Research, off-air research has confirmed that
All of Me by John Legend is also in A flat major. I don't think Talia likes the song enough for us to do a search for the perfect All of Me and see what key he sings it in live.
But actually, funnily enough, I have seen him sing it live.
You have?
Yeah. I went to like this weird party with my friend who was like working for some blog. So we got the invite to, you know, Axe body spray.
Yeah.
They came out with a new line of like all white body spray. So they had like an all white party to celebrate it. And they had John Legend sing All of Me at a white piano.
Oh my God.
At the Axe body spray party.
Yeah. And did it make you like the song more or less? Or were you just not listening because you don't care?
I think I was like more taking in the LOL nature of having John Legend sing All of Me at an Axe body spray event.
That is very LOL. I have one story with John Legend where I used to bark for comedy shows. I used to stand on the street outside of comedy clubs and be like, you want to see a free comedy show?
Ooh.
And a guy walked by me who looked familiar, but I couldn't place him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, like, free comedy show? And he kind of like smiled and kept walking. But I was standing right next to a bank ATM,
mm-hmm.
but the kind where you had to like swipe your card in just to go through the front door. So as he's like trying to get in the door, some other girl's like, are you John Legend? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's John Legend. Like, that's why he looked familiar.
Mm.
So I barked John Legend into a comedy show. He didn't want to come.
Oh, okay.
But I think
he came.
He didn't go. Dang. But I think the reason I didn't recognize him is maybe because he's shorter than I imagined. So like in real life, he just looked kind of like a short dude.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm misremembering and maybe he's not short, but that's my memory.
Yeah. I think he was sitting at the piano. I don't remember his walking to the piano, so I can't weigh in on his height.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he's not like super short, but maybe he just like exudes tallness and he's not tall. So in person, I was just like, I don't know, that guy looks kind of familiar.
Well, isn't that the thing about famous people that like they proportionally like don't look short, but then like are?
Yeah.
Like often? Like I wonder if there's something that goes in hand with like having kind of like fine-boned, like camera friendly features and like being a more petite person.
Yes, that makes sense. I'm often told that I'm taller than people think. In person, they're like, oh, I didn't realize you're, especially now that I mostly see people on Zoom and then occasionally see them in the park. They'll be like, you're tall.
You are tall.
I am tall. Well, I'm not like super tall, but I'm almost 5'8". And I think because I'm kind of like, whatever, small boned or I don't know what.
Yeah. Or delicately featured.
Yeah. Or I just exude shortness for whatever reason.
I don't think you exude shortness, but I think, yeah, you don't exude being tall particularly.
Yeah. And then or like I'll, you know, be sitting with people and then when I stand up people are often like, whoa.
Oh my God, I don't know if you're that tall.
It's happened. Yeah,
that's so funny. Okay, interesting.
So but you're like, you're very average height.
Very average. 5'4¾".
You couldn't be more average.
I couldn't be more average.
You're abnormally average.
Abnormal. It's abnormal.
Yeah.
How average I feel.
Yeah. But so that's my John Legend story. And then a bird pooped on my arm.
Oh.
Very soon
in
after.
Not
in front of him. But someone told me it was good luck.
Oh.
And I don't know, maybe the good luck was seeing John Legend.
Ooh. Maybe. Well, as we know, I don't love All of Me. Back to Perfect.
Okay, back to Perfect, the song that we both love.
The song that we both love. Where were we in our...
We were trying to decide why maybe you like Perfect better than All of Me.
Yeah. Oh, well, I also just wanted to say, to explain about our taxonomy of whether things are perfect or not, is just like about the A flat major thing, is just like, I decided that it would be great when you're referring to something that's like perfect. Like if I'm telling you like, oh, how was, I don't know, what's something that could be perfect? Like
how
was the party?
Yeah.
Oh, it was perfect. But like if it was like perfect in G, like it was good.
Right.
But like perfect in A flat major is like, it was the perfect.
Right. Like if you meet a guy and you think he's like perfect for you, you can be like, he's perfect in A flat major. Or if like something you eat is really delicious, you'd be like, this is perfect in A flat major.
Perfect in A flat major.
Yeah. I think we should start getting that.
Start that.
Circulating.
Yeah. And I was saying, I mean, you know, I don't want to hurt Ed's voice in concert. So I don't want him to overly tax himself. But I feel like, you know, it would be fun to like start some chants.
like perfect in A flat major.
A flat major. Or just like, you know, if he posts like an Instagram post like the day of the show and he's like, see you tonight, Wembley. And I'm like, perfect in A flat major, please. And I just like spam him.
Even though that's not like that weird of a thing to know about a song, I have this feeling that no one's ever asked him that. Like, can you play perfect in A flat major, please? Like, no one's ever specified.
Right.
Except Beyonce.
But I don't think she had to specify. I think it was just like, he knew he had to do it.
You don't think there was a moment where he started in G and she was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Do you think they, well, that was our question. Do you think they rehearsed?
I always wonder about these collaborations. Yeah.
I'm sure they don't record it in the same room.
You don't think so? Even pre-pandemic?
I think even pre-pandemic, like they're probably like on other sides of the country.
Right, right. Because why would they? I mean, but I do think, and we were saying that just to briefly touch on the Taylor Swift album, I have not listened to the second pandemic album yet. It's just a lot, honestly. But you were saying like a lot of the duets, it suffers from them not being in the same room, you think?
Yeah, you can kind of tell. And I feel like a lot of reviews have said that too, so I'm not the only one who thought that. I doubt they were in the same room, but...
Yeah, whose idea do you think it was to collab? Beyonce or Ed Sheeran?
I do feel like I once randomly read that Beyonce just like really liked the song. And so like... could have reached out. Do you think that Ed Sheeran would have the audacity to ask her?
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, even though he's a star too, like she's just so untouchable. I feel like it's kind of the same as how Danny DeVito like just loved It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia season one and was like, I want to be in your show.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. And then they like put him in. They didn't like ask Danny DeVito to be in it. At least that's the story I've heard.
Yeah. I think it was like that. Like she was like, oh, I loved it. I would be down to like be on a version of it.
That was I like how you're making her like a Southern Belle.
Well, she's got a bit of a Southern drawl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I do too, more of a Southern grandma.
Yeah, but I felt the vibe.
You felt the vibe?
Yeah, I definitely did.
I'll work on it.
Right. Well, this was our other theory about, I think we have to talk about Taylor Swift a little bit. So we watched.
I mean, she and Ed are friends, so it works.
It's related.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we watched Taylor Swift's Disney Plus live performance of Folklore the other night, and she was talking to Aaron Dessner, her collaborator on the album, about how she like wanted Bon Iver to collaborate with her, but she didn't want to ask him herself because she'd be too embarrassed if he said no.
Right.
But she knew that Aaron Dessner was friends with him, so she was kind of like, who do you think should sing this with me? Like, hoping that he would suggest Bon Iver. Do you say Bon Iver or Bon Iver?
I say Bon Iver, but I don't know which is right. It might be Bon Iver.
Well, they call him Justin Vernon.
Justin Vernon.
Yeah. So Aaron was like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, I think this would be perfect for Justin. And Taylor laughs. But then we had a theory that secretly Taylor really wanted Matt Berninger, the lead singer of The National, Aaron Dessner's band, to be the one collaborating with her. But when she was like hinting at it, like Aaron said Justin, and she had to just be like, yes.
Had to go with it. Yeah. Right. Because it's like at her level, I think I was saying also like at her level, like a lot of anything she does is like a story.
Right.
So it kind of could be like, oh, like Taylor asked Justin Vernon to be on her album, but he turned her down. like you know, it could just be a stupid like headline,
right? And so she didn't, and maybe she was just too afraid to ask Matt Berninger, although I feel like Justin Vernon is more of like a star in quotes than Matt Berninger is, just like in the public eye maybe.
Yeah,
so I'd have trouble like seeing her be nervous to ask Matt.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, they ended up collabing.
Rejection hurts.
Rejection does hurt. And Matt and Taylor ended up collabing on the next album anyway, Evermore. So, mm-hmm.
So happy ending.
Happy ending. Evermore.
happy ending for Evermore. Do you think, we were saying, do you think Ed's like working on a quarantine album?
Wouldn't it be out by now?
Does he want like to write the third perfect? Is he already sick of perfect, hearing perfect at weddings, and now he wants like a new one?
Well, when did Perfect come out?
It was on Divide. So 2016, I think.
Okay. Well, I feel like if he was sick of perfect, he would have like written another song by now. Right. You know, it's like kind of been he probably has other, I'm not up to date. Does he have an album after Divide?
Yeah, but it was like a collaborations album. So it was kind of different vibe.
Okay.
It was more like world music and hip hop and.
Right. I feel like now it's too late to come out with an album and be like, this is my quarantine album. Like, even though it could totally be that, like maybe right. You did take like 8 months to write an album. Mm-hmm. Everyone's kind of like, all right, like nobody cares. Like you just wrote an album because we've all been in this state for too long now. Like when Taylor released Folklore, we were all still like, how did she even do that? Like,
yeah, it's a quarantine album.
Yeah. Like were they all like remote? Did she like, mm-hmm. we all thought like nothing was possible still in a weird way.
Yeah.
We were like, how are they going to do anything, you know?
Right, right.
But now that we've kind of figured out how to operate, like, you know, things are shooting all the time mm-hmm. now in the pandemic. Everyone's just doing their thing.
It has to just be normal.
Yeah, no one really is going to care anymore. I think people would be excited for a new Ed Sheeran album, but if he was like, it's my pandemic opus.
It's my pandemic. Listen, I would still be excited if he came out with this pandemic opus.
Yeah, I think I'm like particularly jaded.
Yeah, but yeah, maybe.
There is something to be said about artists who are able to like take a minute and yeah. not constantly be producing, which we always celebrate those who just, wow, another album. Like Ariana Grande and Taylor Swift are so prolific.
Yeah.
And they're getting more and more so. I mean, I feel like they're just, their pace of putting stuff out is becoming so much quicker. But I think it's kind of cool when artists go off the map for a little while and then come out with something different and they've really like changed and grown. Yeah. And it's not the best thing for them to do like financially or for maintaining their fame status, but good is good and
perfect is perfect.
And perfect is perfect.
Good is good and perfect is perfect. Yeah. I forget. Was there more we wanted to say about Perfect?
Well, we should reveal what we discovered was the perfect perfect, which is,
oh yeah, the studio album, which we had censored before. So people didn't know.
This was the studio recording of Perfect is the perfect perfect.
It is the perfect perfect. I mean, I guess now I'm trying to think like what are other songs where the studio album isn't the most perfect version. We should have come armed with some more examples to this recording. I didn't.
I mean, they're probably just artists who are more known for like, oh, but you gotta see them live.
Right.
You know, like I feel like Ariana Grande is someone who's probably like incredible to see live just because of like the acrobatics she does with her voice. And
yeah,
you kind of assume it's doctored up in the studio when you hear it. But then I've seen clips of her live and you're like, oh, no, she's just like making all those sounds.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah. No, she famously does not double track her vocals.
Oh, really?
Well, she said that in one of her songs.
Oh, okay.
It's like a line.
Oh.
In one of her songs, she's like, I want to double track my vocals.
Wow.
I know.
Okay, Ariana.
Cool move. Well, then my question was like, you know, it is such a like wedding song. Like, what key are they singing it in at weddings?
Well, I guess that would be up to the wedding singer. But this is something I've always said at my wedding, even though I am a musician, so you'd think I'd want to support live music. I want a DJ for the party because my favorite songs, I don't want to hear like a wedding singer version. I want to hear the song.
The perfect version.
Yeah. And I actually think as a musician, that makes me more likely to feel that way because mm-hmm. there are like, I'm not trying to say, oh, I hear things more, but like, you know, like you the would. Keys, like I'm like, oh, that's in the wrong key. Whereas like someone who might not notice that would just be excited that there are live musicians there and not be as particular. Whereas I'm like, this doesn't sound like the song.
I don't know if I would feel that way as a DJ with the DJ, but I maybe would. I feel like I'm like judgy sometimes.
Yeah. Would you want Perfect to be your first dance with your husband or
I don't think so.
No.
I think it's like a great song, but I think it's like a little too sentimental for my vibe.
Mm.
Which is funny because I know I was just saying that it like is a perfect song.
Right.
But I feel like your first song is a very like statement about like who you are also. Although who I don't know.
I would not necessarily want perfect, but I definitely want a super sappy sentimental song for my first dance. Mm. And I feel like that's also how I know I'm like comfortable enough with someone who I date now. Cause I like imagine myself dancing with them to perfect.
Oh, really?
Sometimes. And
it's so funny.
And if I can, then I'm like, okay, well that's a possibility. Cause oh, I'm like comfortable enough to like, cause that's like a very vulnerable thing.
Yeah.
To dance with someone to perfect while everyone you know and love watches.
All right, you just changed my mind. You're right. That is the mark of true love.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So this is a really good insight. So if you're ever like on a date with someone and you're just trying to see if how things are going, just like see if you could picture yourself with them.
Imagine you're slow dancing middle school style with this person and it's like, dancing in the dark. You between my arms. Does it make you cringe or does it make you kind of feel like all warm and like, yes?
Or just like, great. Just like a sense of peace.
Yeah.
I think that's a great litmus test for really. That's why I guess I was saying that perfect encompasses the whole of the world because there's a lot of comparisons and insights that can be had.
What are other comparisons and insights?
I don't know. Well, what else does he say in it? I was like,
he talks about having children of our own, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you know, also it does reference one of my other favorite songs, Dancing in the Dark by Bruce Springsteen. So that's fun.
Is that it? Do you think that's a reference?
I mean, maybe not. I guess Dancing in the Dark is like, you're just dancing in the dark.
Right.
But I feel like it is.
If you can only imagine yourself dancing in the dark with someone, probably not true love.
Oh.
No. Can you imagine yourself dancing under fluorescent lights? True love.
True love. So maybe he should have said that. Actually, that's that was the thesis of a Shawn Mendes song that came up on Shuffle on my Spotify earlier today.
What?
I think it was called like Lights On.
Mm.
Like I want to dance with you with the lights on.
Yeah. Well, do you have any perfect thoughts to leave us with?
I think, I guess I would say, I do think there's something fun about like what we've been talking about, the idea of like a corny song that like does achieve its purpose. And that can be like a very satisfying thing. And, you know, like celebrating those kind of songs.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, being highbrow all the time is actually very middlebrow. And
yeah, there's also something just very human about kind of giving into these things that seem a little corny at times.
You know, it's very Celine Dion, actually. I feel like perfect is like a Celine Dion vibe, like sentimental but effective. Does Celine Dion ever sing perfect?
That should be his collab.
Now I think we figured it out. Yeah, great. We figured it out.
We figured it out. Well, you know, thanks so much, everyone, for listening to this episode, this special episode of the Search for the Perfect Perfect.
Search for the Perfect Perfect.
And thank you, Talia, a.k.a. DJ Tali K, for gracing us with your presence and insights. And where can everyone follow you?
On Instagram at Tali, T-A-L-I underscore K-A-Y.
Great.
On Instagram. That's the main place.
Yeah. She's a great Instagram presence. One of my faves.
Oh my God,
one of my favorite accounts to look at. Anyway, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. All right. This has been fun. This has been perfect. All right.
It's been perfect.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. For more, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, both at IsabelHagen _, and sign up for my mailing list at IsabelHagen.com. And as always, please rate and review the podcast. Thank you so much and take care.